Yo.
What up?
Thank you for tuning in to Oversaturated, the podcast. I'm your co-host, Ralph.
This is your boy, Johnny. And this is, I guess, our official episode one. Yeah, man. Thanks, everybody, that listened to episode zero. We look forward to you guys' feedback on the Kanye talk. And today, what's our topic today, Ralph?
We're discussing legends within hip-hop.
Yes.
I think when you discuss hip-hop, there are certain names that are just kind of synonymous as being legends or legendary within the culture. You think of Tupac, you think of Biggie, you think of KRS-One, you think of Jay, you think of Nas. Yeah. Like, and those are what, I only name what, East Coast rappers?
Right. can't forget about the people from the South, your Outkasts. Did you say Pop?
Yeah, Tupac. Yeah. Pac is confusing. We don't know if he's from East Coast or West Coast.
Right. Okay. But yeah, there are so many people that are legends in hip hop that we just know about. Redman, Method Man, the entire Wu-Tang, RZA. Like,
yeah. Too Short. E-40.
Yes.
Who else is considered? Scarface.
Oh, definitely Scarface.
Uncle Luke. Uncle Luke's a legend.
Out eight.
Uncle
yes.
Luke. Hey, he made pussy popping on the handstand. Hey. Legendary. But it comes to a point where we have to start looking at other guys and not, you know, discounting anybody that we just named, but there are other people that have made imprints on the game. And that's what we do here at Oversaturated, the podcast. We like to initiate debates and discussions on topics.
Yes.
And me and Johnny have some new people that we would like to usher in to legendary status in hip-hop.
Right.
We're going to make our cases. We're going to try to convince one another that these people are definitely legends within the genre.
Yes. And if you guys agree or don't agree, be sure to, have the discussion on our Facebook page, Twitter page, Instagram page. Like, we want to hear from you guys, too. I mean, of course, me and Ralph, we debate each other on these things, but we also would like to hear from you guys as well. So, Ralph, what is it that creates a hip-hop legend? What are the factors that creates a hip-hop legend to you?
I think longevity.
Okay.
Their creativity. That you know, set them apart from others that were, you know, they came out with, you know, them, you know, their peers.
Right.
I'm thinking, I'm not sure what else. Like, you know, definitely the creativity, the legend, the longevity, consistency. I think that plays a huge part in it too.
Right.
Influence.
Definitely influence. I could feel that.
And I'm thinking imprint on the culture too. Like, you know, we can discuss, you know, their fashion sense. We can discuss how music videos played into status.
Oh,
you
yes.
know, I think those factors, you know, can contribute to what we consider a legend in hip-hop.
Great. I feel you. And I agree with all of those. And there's one that I want to add. And it's the first to do something in hip-hop or becoming the best at one thing in hip-hop. And that's going to kind of pull into my two hip-hop legends that I picked. So, mm-hmm. Just something to think about as we, you know, continue through. So,
okay.
So, should we just get into it, or?
I think it's good. I think we can go ahead and get into it.
You take it first.
Okay, I'll go first. Okay, this gentleman, if I can say this, sometimes numbers and awards should play into someone having a certain status. If I told you that this person had 11 Grammys, so has 8 to 10 studio albums, I believe it's 10 studio albums, 10 million records, so basically he averages a million every time he drops an album.
Right.
Had some of the most expensive music videos known. known to common man.
Back with music videos. Actually,
you know, when they actually had a budget and they actually mattered. Trevor Smith Jr. And if you don't know who that is, I think Johnny knows who I'm talking about.
I do.
Busta Rhymes.
Hey, Busta.
Bus. from Brooklyn. Flip Mode is the Squid On. Flip Mode
is the Squid On. What up, Spliff?
Right, Spliff Star, the greatest hype man ever. He even had a few bars.
Behind.
Hey, don't say slow down, fam.
Not slow down. Flavor Flav, man.
Come on, man. My bad.
Yeah, there you go.
And that's a good segue because Chuck D actually gave Busta Rhymes his nickname. Who would have knew?
I think I heard Busta say that on some interview or something. It's crazy.
So I think that ties into it because, you know, first of all, you're around Chuck D. You know, one of the, you know, the godfathers of this thing who's, you know, a legend.
Yes.
Who we didn't name. But Busta Rhymes, you know, he started off in a group, Leaders of the New School. Him and, you know, and Tribe Called Quest, they collaborated on some of the biggest records.
Yes.
Back in the day before he really knew his, you know, knew his fame. And, you know, this guy went to school with Jay-Z and Biggie. Like, he was their dog. Like, they, you know, maybe they weren't necessarily friends, but these are, like, off-battle rap, you know, rap stuff that has happened.
Right.
That we're not privy to because we're not from that era or around or in Brooklyn. But that happened. So, I think that you know, adds to his legendary status. Like I said, it started with the Leaders of the New School, and then when he went solo, you know, he had the bravado, the charisma,
yes.
the rapid fire flow that set him apart. And he was from New York. I don't think he sounded like anybody from Brooklyn,
right? Yeah,
because a lot of Brooklyn guys were doing the storytelling.
Okay, yeah. But
Busta seemed like he was just more so the fun-loving guy. He didn't talk about drugs that much, I don't think.
Nah, not at all.
He was really just...
Just a fun guy.
I wouldn't say he was an everyday, you know, backpack, you know, Kanye guy like we were talking about the last podcast. But, and then let's get into his style and influence. Like, Busta was eccentric. Like, and I wouldn't say he was like a coon, but I remember one time he was dressed up in like a mariachi costume at like the MTV Awards, bro. But that was Busta though, and we love Busta because he was that, like, he was just different.
Right.
And I mean, what else? The music videos.
Oh, listen. I think Busta and Missy probably had the best music videos of the 90s.
Oh,
like, hands down.
It's like Put Your Hands Where My Eyes Can See is a dope song.
Yes.
But you think about the video every time,
man.
You hear the song and you can't help but do the dance.
Right.
Like, you can't help but dance like the way, you know, you gotta rap like Busta, like,
right.
You gotta move like that. Because that video, the visuals meant so much. And not to mention, I think he had one of the most expensive rap videos ever. And that's tough to do when, you know, and this was without like a lot of Bentleys and shit like that. He did this with like visual effects and CGI. With Janet Jackson.
Lord have mercy.
Janet Jackson. And he got the fondle Janet Jackson.
Wait, what was the name of the song?
Gonna get your body wet. gonna you scream my name. Was it gonna be or something like that?
Yes.
Okay.
YouTube, Google, whatever that video. As soon as this podcast ends. But man, I'm talking, the visuals were amazing, and like Ralph said, he got to, you know, fondle Janet Jackson.
I mean, and then that's a difficult task to get Janet Jackson to do a feature.
Right.
You know, she wasn't coming down to do no, you know, rap, you know, rap features.
Right.
I mean, but she did do a song with Chingy.
And see, I didn't believe that when Ralph first told me, but he had to look it up, and I'm like, wow.
Just me and you,
like,
ooh, Chingy.
And that was her. That wasn't even a sample.
That was really Janet Jackson. But she didn't make it to the video, though.
Because
I think that was a single. And I think the reason, now, let me get to why I believe that Busta Rhymes isn't considered a legend. Busta Rhymes has continued to rap, and he never really changed anything. I think his time kind of passed, and I'm not saying that in a bad way. I look at Busta kind of like that old man that stayed on the court or the field too long.
Yep.
Because Busta realistically can come out and do the same thing that he did in 97 right now.
True.
But who's checking for that in today's climate? And I like to make comparisons to other people. And when I say Busta's that old man that stayed on the court too long, I'm thinking him like Paul Pierce.
Mm.
Paul Pierce of the NBA. Paul Pierce is like... That player that stayed on the court, you know, he's been in the league 20 years.
It's a long time.
And nobody cares. Kind of like Busta. Busta has been rapping for 20 years, and I think nobody gives a fuck. And let's look at Paul Pierce real quick. You know, I'm not changing into a sports debate, but they're very synonymous. Paul Pierce came into the league when he had AI around him, Shaq, Kobe, Dirk. You got all-time greats.
Yep.
And he played for one of the NBA's flashier franchises, which is the Boston Celtics. He's the number two scorer. And he doesn't get any love. He doesn't get treated like that.
Crazy.
You're the number two scorer. So that's kind of like Busta. Busta's from Brooklyn. He's around some of the best rappers that we consider to be, you know, of this generation. You have Biggie. You have Hov. And you have these other New York MCs. And Busta Rhymes just kind of got lost in the shuffle.
Yeah.
And I think that his legacy doesn't get discussed enough.
Oh, I definitely agree with that.
And definitely. I think that kind of wraps up what I can really say about Busta, but I believe that he is definitely a legend. And I don't think that's a far reach for me to call him that, but some people may not look at Busta the way we look at other MCs that have provided, you know, that some type of cultural influence.
Right. Yeah, and I feel like I definitely agree. Busta Rhymes is definitely a hip-hop legend, even, like, down to giving live performances. Like, if you ever look at a Busta live performance, listen to me. Even now, Busta got to be in his 40s.
Yeah.
And he will still put on an amazing performance. Like, high energy, just like he's still 21 or something. Like, it's crazy. Yep. It's amazing.
And Swift's still out there with him, too. Now, that's one thing about Busta. He never really had any beefs because he was never really that guy.
Right.
I don't think Busta ever did subliminals like that. Not like that. Because he was always the fun-loving guy. He made the party songs. Like, he really just... He was for the culture, but he wasn't like the street guy.
Yeah.
But, you know, I respect what he's done. And I think that is, you know, a time that we need to start having that discussion, you know, that Busta is indeed a legend. Right.
Yep. I mean, and I definitely agree with that. So, I can agree. I can agree. Okay. So, for my first hip-hop legend, this is a person who perfected a rapping style that... a lot of rappers either attempt and fail, or they attempt and get okay at, but this rapper really perfected this style. This rapper, his real name is Carl Terrell Mitchell, and everybody knows him as Twista.
I'm about to say Carl.
Yes, like, I didn't know that myself.
You know what? You know, I just happened to, you know, look up some of these names, but Twista, like Carl, come on, fam.
Yeah, I don't know, but Twista. And of course, everybody should know that he perfected the speed, you know, speed rap. And it's actually called it has a real name. It's called the Chopper Style. But yeah, so the type of rap that he perfected, speed rap, chopper style. I challenge anybody out there, you know, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, whatever, who raps fast better than Twista to a beat?
Busta.
and the thing is, like, I have to disagree, because think about any Busta song where he's like rapping fast. Mm-hmm. He repeats a lot of like syllables. He doesn't say a lot of different words. Like, he's not saying full sentences. Like,
oh damn, bro, why you had to get so technical?
I'm just saying, this is like I love it. Mm-hmm. And this is back when I was, you know, trying to be a rapper. This was the style that kind of influenced me, just because I thought it was so great. It's intricate, you know, it's fast. Not a lot of people can do it. It's just great. And I really challenge anybody to really, you know, name somebody better at that than Twista. Not Bone Thugs and Harmony, not anybody in that group. Not Busta Rhymes. And people don't realize Eminem, you know, he actually can rap like that, and he's done it on a few songs. Yeah. But he's not as good as Twista.
And I don't think, well, Eminem can rap fast, but I don't think he's done it as consistently.
Oh, definitely not.
No.
Definitely not. And I have a list of four songs here for you guys to check out. You know, just to know what I'm saying about his lyrical prowess. So we have Adrenaline Rush, which is from the Adrenaline Rush album. We have So Sexy featuring R. Kelly, which is on his Kamikaze album. There's a song called Badunkadunk, which is also
Kamikaze yes, album. Yes, I remember that,
that
song.
That song is amazing. That song come on right now and I get live.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then the last song I have here is called Lavish. And it's featuring Pharrell from his album The Day After. This, like, he literally perfected. The fact that he perfected this style over a beat, I think, alone should classify him as a legend. Because people, you know, still trying to do it. And not saying that there are people that aren't good at it, but they aren't as intricate, you know, enunciate as well as Twista to a beat. Like, I don't think there's anybody better.
Thing is, you might have me on that one, bro, because I see what you deal with that, you know, trying to say, you know, well, not trying to say, saying that Twista, you know, like, his style cannot be mimicked. Yes. Therefore, he is who he is to hip-hop.
Right.
I really want to fight you on this. Like, and there's no slight to Twista. I'm just trying to think. Like, the only person I really could say is somebody that I brought up with, and that was Busta, but he hasn't done that consistently, not like Twista. Twista, that's why his name is Twista.
Right.
So.
There are very few songs where Twista doesn't rap fast. Like,
that is true.
Yeah, so.
That is true. I think the more commercial he got, the less fast. Like, the less speed he put on his words. Like, I think in 04, like, everything, when everybody was riding that Kanye wave, listen to Kanye podcast if you haven't. I think he became a little bit more commercial. And that's not a bad thing.
Right.
I just think that he slowed up his flow to get on these songs. But, you know, no, he was still Twista.
Oh, yeah.
He was definitely still Twista. So,
listen, So Sexy can come on right now, and I would probably know every word. Man. But, yeah, I mean, just gotta say Twista. That's, yeah.
Yeah. Now, this one. Now I'm going to take back over here, guys. This one Johnny is probably going to hate me for it. But I'm going to give you some things first, and then we can talk about why I think this guy is a legend in rap, hip hop, this culture that we love so much.
Yep.
Okay. What if I told you a rap artist has put out a consistent material since 2005? He is, rather people like to admit this or not, he ushered in a new sound in the already thriving rap scene, Atlanta. Because you have to think about Atlanta pre-2005. Like, let's just say from 02 to 05.
Mm-hmm.
Atlanta was probably the most commercial it's ever been.
True.
You had Outkast, you know, winning Grammy of the Year. You had Ludacris doing his thing. Jermaine Dupri is popping again as, like, a credible producer.
Right.
The Atlanta rap scene is really, really thriving. So, you come in and you introduce a brand new sound. What we like to call today is trap rap.
Hey.
So, I consider him a pioneer in that. Then, you revolutionized the mixtape scene along with Lil Wayne. I think Lil Wayne gets more credit because, you know, obviously his bars were a little bit better. Well, no, not a little bit. A lot better. And people don't like to give Lil Wayne credit for rap. But he revolutionized how we consume music today. That's why, you know, the way he put out mixtapes, it has to be noted. And I think he's influenced multiple artists too. Like, if you drew kind of like a tree, they would kind of lead to him. Because of influence. And maybe, you know, some of your biggest artists, some of the artists that are, you know, quote unquote, the people that, you know, people love today can be drawn to this artist. And I think he's become more marketable over time despite having run-ins with the law.
Okay.
Like, even more marketable. And I hope that you guys are starting to catch where I'm going with this. If not, hold on. He has 10 solo albums since 2005. He has over 66 mixtapes. I counted. And I'm pretty sure I'm missing some. 66 mixtapes. Now, he doesn't, you know, necessarily have the album sales, but the type the fact that he's a pioneer of this type of genre, I don't consider album sales to really be a end all be all. He's only sold 1 million records. I mean,
a million is a million, I guess.
Exactly.
Does he have bars? Oh no, you said traps.
Trap, and I don't know. Hey, let me just go and cut the shit, guys. I am talking about the God. Johnny's not gonna agree with me, but the God, Roderick Davis, Gucci Man LaFleur. Yes.
Oh.
I just said that he's a legend.
Okay, for the people listening.
Goo-wop.
Ralph Gucci? Just said Gucci Mane is a hip hop legend. I want
to
hear this.
Oh yeah, let's go into it now. You gotta think about. I just want to point out a few other Atlanta MCs that were around that time.
Okay,
that kind of faded away.
Okay,
you got Gorilla Zoe. What happened to him?
Mm.
Exactly.
Good question.
Trap rapper, right?
Right.
Same content.
Right.
DG Yola. Remember that?
DG Yola.
I ain't gonna let these pussy niggas get to me.
I never knew who that was.
I think he's from Atlanta. Well, he's from the South. You know, excuse me, guys.
Right.
But, Young Jock.
Oh. Exactly. Hey, I don't know what Jock on.
Well, right, you now. Know what? Let's tie Zoe and Jock together because they was both signed to Diddy. So, excuse me on that one. But
oh, yeah. We all know what happens to his artists.
Right. But my case with Gucci starts with he only worked with certain producers.
Okay.
Like, mainstream artists have access to, you know, the Timbalands, the Pharrells, the Mike Will made it. You know, even though Gucci has collaborated with Mike Will, but that was one time. But I'm talking about before, he only really worked with, like, unknown, virtually unknown people. Zaytoven and Gucci are synonymous. Zaytoven is really a great producer, and he crafted Gucci's sound. So I think that helps. He's only worked with him.
Okay.
Well, for the majority of his career. Now, somebody can fact check me on that. That's what, you know, our Instagram and, you know, all of our social media handles are for.
Right.
We always fault our rappers for not being authentic. There were times where, you know, we look at rappers and we really felt like, hey, if you're really rapping about this, you should be living it.
Right.
Who lives his life more gutted than Gucci? Like, Gucci has been in and out of jail. He kicked the chick out the car, man. And he got arrested. Literally, he kicked her out the moving car. But yet, you know, Gucci. And this is one thing I think that adds to the legend that is Gucci, man. How many times is he going to jail? And it never really affected his buzz. Because Gucci has recorded so many mixtapes. Tying back into the mixtape argument. Because he consistently flooded the streets or, you know, the rap scene with his music. So his imprint never left. And he only got hotter every time. Like, the last time he came out of jail. Like, you know, he lost all the weight.
Mm-hmm.
He became more remarkable with the hair. And right. I think he got some veneers. And that's it.
What? So, okay, question. So by that logic, would you also consider Lil Boosie a legend?
It's hard for me to make a case with Boosie. It's kind of like with Boosie, he went to jail and his demand was there, but the music never met the demand.
Mm.
I think when Gucci came out, that first album, I know what you haven't listened to it, but Everybody Looking, it met the expectation. Like, it met the expectation. And then he came with another mixtape and another album. Like, he's constantly meeting the demand that people are putting for him.
Yeah.
I can say Lil Boosie has definitely slowed down. I'm not taking away from anything he's done pre-jail, you know, pre-prison or whatever. Right. But I think Gucci arguably has gotten better over time. And then how many artists has he influenced? Nicki Minaj. That's everybody's favorite raptress right now, right?
Right.
But Nicki Minaj got her start under where? Gucci Man.
I didn't know that myself.
Oh, fact check me, people. But yeah, Johnny, that Nicki Minaj got it started under Gucci.
Well, I'm sorry. That's off topic. Never mind. Go ahead.
Well, you know, OJ the Juice Man. Hey, what happened to him? I don't know.
I have no idea.
Waka Flocka Flame.
Mm.
Young Thug would not be here if it weren't for a Gucci Man. 21 Savage, who I know you probably don't even know who that is. But 21.
I know who he is. He looks very weird, but I don't listen to his music.
Okay.
Yeah.
But no, his influence is definitely a Gucci. Migos, your mans, you, them your boys. Say it right now. Admit it.
Hell no.
But they have benefited from a lane that Gucci Mane has blazed. And I mean, I can go to Future. I can talk about Rocco. All these guys came after Gucci. So I think Gucci is definitely the godfather. And it's probably more people that can, you know, has come from that Gucci Mane tree. But, you know, hey.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to think what else. And I think that he definitely, you know, came on the scene and sounded like nobody else. Gucci had a very distinct sound. You know, the ad-libs, the southern drawl. Like, and, you know, some people can say, you know, Jeezy and, you know, Ross, hey. I don't really know. Like, because the thing about Jeezy, he can give you a dud album.
True.
Like, it's, I think Jeezy got cold in these streets. That's why he changed his name. But, you know, that's another story.
Right.
And Rick Ross, these are mainstream artists, so it's hard for me to compare. Mm-hmm. And it's like apples to oranges. It's like, it's not the same.
Right.
So, like, yeah, that's my case for Gucci. I think I'm looking over my notes here, and I think I kind of covered everything. But, you know, like they said, like Outkast said, the South has something to say. Outkast already, you know, kind of covered that lane.
Right.
From the early 90s to the mid 2000s. Mm-hmm. Then a different sound emerged out of Atlanta.
Totally agree.
And I think, you know, Gucci definitely captured that sound, brought it to the forefront, brought it to the masses, and now he's here.
Yeah.
And now Gucci is probably the most marketable he's ever been in his life. Like we said, he's in GQ.
Yeah.
Like, GQ, like crazy. GQ, Gentleman's Quarterly is reaching out to Roger Davis to be in their magazine.
Right.
Probably with Keisha Kayor. Like, she probably in there too.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. Like, I think after all that I just said, are you even buying this?
I mean, I mean logically from your points, I guess it kind of makes sense. I mean, he has met the demand of the music. He definitely changed his image, and I mean, it seems like he's as big, if not bigger, than he was, you know, from him going to jail before.
I think that just when a lot of these niggas go to jail, it changes things. Like Lil Wayne went to jail, and he has never been the same.
Oh,
granted, he has had contract, you know, disputes with his label, but still, his demand is not there.
Yeah.
And, you know, Lil Wayne was known for recording all this music and all this, and, you know, but yet it changed somehow. Like, it just kind of just diminished. But somehow, Gucci, hey, man, listen. I've never listened to Wilt Chamberlain Part 4. Like, that's a mixtape. But
I'm sure.
Exactly. That's how many mixtapes he's had. And I think that, you know, that has to count for something. Nobody can record that much material.
Right. Like, what are you even really talking about? Like,
now that's the thing. Now somebody want to argue me on content? Yeah. like you know what I'm saying? Like, but I'm not sitting here advocating that, you know, I listen to Gucci all the time. Now, granted, that's my guilty pleasure. I do listen to Gucci sometimes, but I'm not sitting here quoting Gucci bars.
Right.
So it's hard for me if people want to rebut this. Like, I have a limited argument, but I have an argument.
Right.
So, you know, if you guys want to debate it, Johnny, if you wanted to debate me on this right now, I honestly, like, I have my points.
Right. I mean, I don't really know if I can. I guess the only thing I would say, like, by that logic, like I said earlier, like, I would think Lil Boosie would be considered a legend, and then who else? I mean, but who really doesn't think Lil Wayne is a legend, though?
No, I think Lil Wayne is already solidified. That's something different because of the market. He's from New Orleans.
Right.
So, you're talking about, you know, it's hard to be a legend in Atlanta.
Yeah.
Because everybody's a rapper.
Yeah. So, no, I'm going to have to agree. I don't know. And I think the best Gucci verse I ever heard.
Oh. See, he was a fan already. What am I doing?
But wait, though. The best Gucci verse I ever heard is from a very current song. Chris Brown song. I have
the
no,
party.
Yes, that's the best Gucci verse I ever heard. Yeah, the song is hot. But yeah,
well, hey,
man. But yeah, Gucci Mane, hip hop legend. I think I'm okay with that.
Yes, I got him.
Right.
We're going to have him listen to Migos next, people. Watch.
That's a reach. Long reach. Listen, people. I don't know about y'all, but Bad and Bougie is terrible.
Damn.
The beat, hard. I love the beat. The song itself is terrible. I don't really care. But anyway. All right. So for my next hip hop legend, I consider this guy a legend because of how he, I guess, moved throughout his career and was able to get on the Forbes magazine list without anybody ever really knowing. This guy, his real name is Aaron Dantes Yates, but you guys may know him as Tech N9ne.
What? I was sitting here trying to think.
Okay. Yes, Tech N9ne.
Okay, go for it.
So, like I said, the reason I consider this guy a hip-hop legend is because the way that he was able to, I guess, gain his independence, create his own label, and basically get all of his money from not just selling records, but, you know, touring and having a collection of artists that he has a cult following. Like, they have a cult following. His whole Strange Land, Strange Music movement has been going since 1999, and they're still going today. They are out of Kansas City. Raph looking at me like crazy.
816, what up? Like, I just want to shout out to you from Kansas City. 816, what up?
Right. He has a total of 18 studio albums. 11 of those albums are solo albums just from him. Mm-hmm. And then 7 of those albums are part of his collaboration series, where he basically does just a bunch of like collaborations with a bunch of different artists, mainly from his Strange Music label, but also just other artists as well. And they've been going since 1999, and he put out an album this year. And any quote unquote independent artist or artist that starts their own label really gets their blueprint from Tech N9ne, because he's the person that has perfected this whole get my own label, get my own artist, make the Forbes list, and all that other kind of stuff. Raph looking at me like,
okay. I'm with you on making the Forbes list, but I like to, you know, debate you on the fact that other guys have been independent and have had more success, because I think the Forbes list has become a little bit more recent thing, and you have to submit your information to Forbes. I don't think they pull it.
Really? See, that yes. I didn't know. Because I watched the interview with Tech N9ne, and he was saying he wasn't sure how Forbes got his information. So I wasn't sure if...
Because I believe some of that stuff, that's private information. You just can't pull nobody IRS stuff, right? Hell, Donald Trump ain't released his shit, man. So I think some of that stuff has to be released. And the reason I want to debate you on the fact that, you know, like, I mean, there have been other successful independent artists, like, mm-hmm. you know, Lil Jon made a lot of money independent. You had Too Short that made a lot of money independent. Yeah. You had E-40. I don't think he's ever been signed to a major label. Maybe just of recent. Probably from Tell Me When to Go, probably that shit.
Okay,
but like, I'm talking about like before, like right. that E-40. I think he's always been independent, but and you know what? I can't like, and I'm not sitting here trying to bash Tech N9ne, because right. I haven't listened to his music enough to bash.
Right,
you know what I'm saying? So I can't go there. But I'm just trying to wrap my mind around.
And you got to think about, like, 99, this is a period where everybody was trying to get signed, like,
yeah,
that, like, that's all it was, like, there was no streaming back then, I think iPods was just okay. coming out, some shit like that,
okay.
like, this is a period where people were shopping their demos to A&Rs and shit at labels, like, here, you know, we want to get signed, I want to get signed. Tech N9ne left the label and said, I'm about to start my own shit. He grabbed his people, and they started their own label, and, you know, started making their music, touring, doing all the other stuff.
Well, hey, because that's where the money is, in touring. And right. I know Tech N9ne stays on that road.
Oh, yes.
He stays, pops around here. Like, anybody that's, you know, from the local area, from where in St. Louis, where we're from, originally from East St. Louis, where right. we're in St. Louis, y'all know about Pops.
Right. And he actually sold, so last year, me and Vicky, shout out to Vicky, went to a Tech N9ne show. Mm-hmm. Sold out the pageant. Like, it's hella people. Oh. Like, hella people singing all words.
I'm disrespectful. Yeah. Like, you know, if he was at the pageant, that's bigger than the Pops.
Yeah. So, yeah, like, I mean, anybody that's doing the whole I want my own label type thing, their blueprint is from Tech N9ne.
Okay.
Anybody willing to debate, holla at
me. Hey, man, I'm going to debate you online, too, because I got to go think about something first. I mean, for right now, with that logic, like, you're going strictly off of the, well, not influence, but definitely, like, the fact that he's independent, he's making his own money, he made the Forbes list off of making, you know, being an independent artist, which is very huge and very hard to do.
Yes.
I don't know.
You gotta be a legend off of that. Like,
And you know, real quick.
Yeah.
Now we're both hometown boys.
Yep.
And I want to throw this out here. As you can hear, I'm slaying my R's and everything. So I think Johnny's knowing where I'm gonna go with this. Would you consider Cornell Hayes?
Oh, most definitely
a legend.
Most definitely.
And we're not being homeboys. Like, I mean, we're not just, you know, riding for Nelly, because that's what we're talking about, right? Nelly. I think Nelly is a legend, and he's very an unsung hero.
I can agree. I can definitely agree with that.
I think because Nelly, first of all, he went diamond.
Diamond.
And
okay, for people that don't know what that means, he sold 10 million albums.
Yeah,
10 million.
Out the gate. And I think he sold, you know, I think Nellyville probably will sold 6 or 7.
Yeah.
This is not me fact checking. You know, I'm too drunk to really look at it on Wikipedia. So this is all just off the dome. If anybody wants to, you know, please just, you know, look at the hashtag, you know, debate us. But, you know, I think he influenced, I think he made a lot of people change their game up as far as, like, you know, making, you know, particular types of songs, that singing, rapping type of thing. And Nelly blazed the lane when a lot of people didn't want to hear that shit.
Right.
Because that's what they said. You know, we went to school in the South. People used to shit on Nelly.
Hard.
But the fact was that Ja Rule changed his shit up. He started doing all them songs with Ashanti after the year.
Oh my God.
And your boy, Drake, would not be Drake without the lane that Nelly blazed. And I'm saying that on wax because it's the truth.
It's the truth.
Because all that shit that, you know, not Nelly, but Drake be around here singing and rapping and shit, that is something that Nelly was doing.
Yes.
Maybe not to the extent of Drake.
And Drake can't sing. Sorry.
I mean,
he can't sing.
He really can't.
And don't forget Flo Rida. Flo Rida actually copied Nelly's entire style. Like, come on, man. Come on, man. Really? Really.
I'm not even gonna say anything about Flo Rida, like, because he is not even relevant right now.
Man, I'm just saying. Nelly did all of this without, like, a major cosign from an artist.
Facts.
Like,
he's from St. Louis. He's not from the East Coast. He's not from the South.
Right.
He's not from the West Coast.
Right.
And he doesn't sound like anybody else.
Nobody.
That's the thing. Drake, now let's get on Drake. Drake sounds like everybody else. Drake is a New York Yankee cap wearing. he raps on Bay beats. he raps on beats from, you know, beats from the Bay while having a Southern drawl and
sipping lean.
and he does reggaeton. So I'm confused when
right.
it comes to
like,
Drake.
Who are you? Like, come on, man. Seriously.
And you know what? I'm not going to sit here and be an hypocrite. I listen to Drake. That's why it pisses me off that he does that. Because, hey, fam, I don't feel like listening to your album if it's going to sound like, you know, Pond de River one song, and then you trying to be rap's next greatest superstar on this song.
Right.
And then you making some bullshit, you know, I guess, you know, lullaby rap type songs.
Right.
It's like I don't really know what I'm getting with you.
Exactly. Like, you have to pick what you want to do. If you want Pick a genre, make an entire album like that.
Facts.
Don't do all this shit in the same album because it gets hard to listen to. Like, nobody, I personally don't listen to Drake for that particular reason. Like, I listen to like a lot of his earlier stuff where he was actually like just rapping.
But you know what, with Drake, like, he can give you a 22 song project like he just gave you, and I guarantee you probably pick up six songs.
See?
That's how I listen to Drake albums. Like, I'm like, okay, let me get the 5 or 6 songs I really want and then keep it moving.
It's like, what's the purpose then? Like, yeah, I don't know.
I don't know.
Yeah. But anyway, so I do have one honorable mention for hip hop.
Oh, we're doing honorable mentions. Let's go.
I just got one.
Okay.
So this guy, or in his group, I guess, whatever, they actually created a new subgenre, I can say, of hip hop.
Okay.
This is Lil Jon and the Eastside Boys. The whole crunk music shit. Like, come on, man.
Now, hey, you should have just said that instead of Tech N9ne for him. I'm with you.
Hate on Tech N9ne.
I'm with you on Lil Jon, though. Like, I ride with Lil Jon, bro. Listen. But that Tech N9ne was hard, bro.
Yeah, but come on, like, seriously, Lil Jon and the Eastside Boys. Definitely hip hop legends. The whole crunk music genre. They created that.
Hey man, like, Lil Jon gave us some blessings.
Yes. Listen, if Lil Jon made music, as soon as you hear the first beat, you wanted to fight.
Yes.
Like, come on.
Yes.
What?
I mean, Trillville, Lil Scrappy, Crime Mob. That's all Lil Jon.
Yes.
That's all Lil Jon.
Man, Lil Jon's definitely out there.
Yeah, I'll give you that.
And he's still producing now, like the whole EDM shit. Like, he's still out here, so hey, that's definitely longevity.
I can't blame him for that. Turn Down for What? That's a big song for Jon.
It is. I don't even.
I hate it, but you know, hey,
yeah.
If it gets played at stadiums and Jon keep getting music off of it, I love it.
Right.
But for me to sit and say, hey, let's play this at the function, I ain't trying to hear that shit.
Nope. Not at all. So yeah, that's my only honorable mention.
Okay.
So I'm thinking, like, maybe we can make this an ongoing thing. Like, we can, like, this will be Hip Hop Legends Part 1
type. I think we continue because, like you said, history is made every day. Legends are made every day, like I said at the beginning of the podcast. I think that once, you know, history is written all the time, so we can just look at, you know, somebody's track record and say, hey, they possibly could be a legend too.
Right. Yeah. So yeah, and you guys, y'all let us know who you all think are hip hop legends. Or if you have an issue with our hip hop legends, you know, talk to us. Tell us why you think they are or not hip hop legends, and we'll be here to hear from you guys.
Yeah.
You want to give them the Facebook, Instagram.
Like our Facebook page, Oversaturated the Podcast. Instagram, Oversat the Podcast. What's the Twitter handle again?
Twitter is Oversat Podcast.
Mm-hmm. And our email is oversatpodcast@gmail.com.
Yeah, man. We look forward to hearing from you guys. And thanks again for listening.
Yo, we out.
We out.